Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Why don't you go, if you have a Bible with you or your device or whatever you use. I still use the paper and leather. Why don't you go to Proverbs chapter 9? Years ago, I used to read a proverb, a chapter out of Proverbs every day. This was many years ago. I heard Marilyn Hickey say you should do that. And she's 90-some years old and still going strong, and she must know what she's talking about. Still preaching the gospel, praise God. And an honorable lady. And she was a minister I'd met. He said, I had Marilyn Hickey at my church. And he said, I got up and talked about the offering, you know, and preached a little bit about the offering before she came and preached. She said, after the service in the back room, she said to me, she says, God, that was really, really good, what you spoke in the offering tonight. She says, I'm going to preach it and make it great. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, someone with that many years, she's a female general in the church. Amen. Go right ahead. Proverbs. Now, you know, you may not remember, kind of maybe a little chopped up. I was gone last Sunday morning, but we're talking about the wisdom of God, and this is number 3. And so in these, we've been talking about different things. We talked about, first one, about how, you know, the wisdom in the Word, that's where we ought to get our wisdom from, not the world, not current culture, but the Word of God. Amen? I said amen? You know, just not what's popular, not what'll get the pressure off of you. See, a lot of people cave because of pressure, because people don't like you when you stand for truth. Well, Jesus already warned us that would happen. He said, they hated me, they'll hate you. So if you want them to like you, just don't do what Jesus said. Well, I'd rather have Jesus on my side, because I got a feeling there's a judgment day coming. And it's coming pretty soon. And besides, the truth works, right? Truth outlives a lie, right? Amen. And so, so we talked about get your wisdom from the Word. Then we talked about there's two kinds of knowledge out there. And our second teaching about how there's revelation knowledge and there's sense knowledge. You know what your five physical senses tell you. You know your five senses that you have. They help you connect with the world. You lost all five senses, then you're done functioning in this world. Amen. And so. So it's important that we have revelation knowledge. Revelation knowledge is knowledge that comes from God's Word when the Spirit of God reveals it to us. Now, you could read the Word. You could memorize this entire book and still not have revelation knowledge. Amen. Now, you know, there's an old gentleman. He's done passed on, but he wrote a Bible. It's a really, really good study Bible. It's called the Dake Study Bible. Finished J. Dake. It's one of the best study Bibles out there. I mean, he's a Spirit-filled Pentecostal that spent 100,000 hours annotating the Bible. So I hardly recommend his study Bible, Dake's annotated Bible. And he was so sharp, Dr. Summerall had him in his church one service, and Brother Dake sat on the platform, and he quoted the whole book of Hebrews with the punctuation. That's a brain. I said, that's a brain. Amen. But, you know, and of course, Mr. Dake was a faith-filled man, so I'm not saying this about him. But I'm simply saying you could do that and still not have revelation knowledge, because that comes from the Spirit of God. Right. I mean, hey, man, the Jewish people, they had the Torah, and they didn't know the Messiah when he came, and he was written in their book. Right? So it takes revelation. So we talked about that, about the difference, not living by your senses, not throwing away your sense knowledge. God gave it to you for a reason, but don't let it supersede revelation knowledge or the knowledge of God's Word. God's Word comes first. So, now, this morning, what I want to talk to you about is this. And remember, this is wisdom number 3, so you don't have to write out these long titles. But what I want to talk about is wisdom is applying the Word to your life. That's what wisdom is. Look in Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10. The Bible says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So you don't even begin to tap into the wisdom of God until you fear the Lord. Now, what does that mean to fear the Lord? Mean be afraid of Him? Well, it means to reverence Him, to honor Him, to respect Him, and you know, that would be applying His word to your life, right? You know, I didn't even begin on the wisdom journey until I met the Lord. Nobody does. See, sometimes we mistake knowledge for wisdom, and it's different. See, let me just give you this real quickly here. Knowledge, because you'll see this in the Bible. You'll see the words knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Anybody ever seen that? If you read the Proverbs, you'll find these words used. Wisdom, knowledge, understanding. Well, knowledge is just simply to have the facts or truth about something. You know the facts or truth about it. Well, I mean, you can know the facts or truth and not apply it. Understanding means you have insight in how those facts or truths work or how something works. You have insight into it. But still, that's not good enough. Wisdom is the application of the facts or truth you have. So wisdom is applying it. If you don't apply it, it doesn't do you any good. Now, I didn't begin on the wisdom journey until I met Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I look back at my life. I don't know if anybody looks back on their life to see where they've come from. And I look back and I think, man, how could I have been so dumb? I did drugs that people made, synthetic drugs, LSD, that kind of stuff, that people made in their basement, most likely some of it, by not the most integrous people in the world. And I look back on it, how could you be so stupid to put that in your body? Well, it just, you know, I didn't begin having wisdom until I met the Lord. Wisdom, you know, the Bible tells us that there's a fourfold stream to our redemption. 1 Corinthians 1:30 tells us this, that in Christ we have wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. So that's a fourfold stream, you know. Wisdom's number one. How many know the Bible says wisdom's a principal thing? With all you're getting, get wisdom. We have a wisdom deficit in America. How many know that? And it's not just in America. It is in the world. Yeah. The reason I know this, you know, just, you know, you think, well, maybe it's just here. No, it's everywhere. I said, it's everywhere. It's the, how many know the devil's not just in America? Come on, are you with me now? And how many know God's not just in America? God's not an American God. He's not from West Texas. No offense to West Texas, but he's not from West Texas, man. God, you know, somebody sent me a text one time and they said, was Jesus black? Well, you know, I was just there for the service. I was in a black church one time and they had a picture of Jesus out in the lobby and kneeling at the rock, you know, at, what am I thinking about? Gethsemane. He was kneeling at a rock praying, and it was a curly-headed black Jesus. My friend poked at me and said, look at that. And I said, yeah, well, we make him look like he's from Texas. How many know he wasn't either one? He was the line of the tribe of Judah, right? So he was Jewish. He was dark-complected, no doubt. He had that darker-complected skin. But, you know, I don't think God cares about that all that much, you know. and we shouldn't either, right? I don't think black, white, you know, red, whatever. I don't think those. I think good, bad people. And really, honestly, I think most of America does. I think it's the news media that's obsessed with race. I think here, most of us, all the people I know of, they don't care. We just know two kinds of people, ones we can trust, ones we can't. We got white people we can't trust. We got black people we can't trust, right? We got Asian people we can't trust. It's people. So it isn't a matter of that. You know, it doesn't matter to me what color your skin is. It's just, do you have integrity? Amen. And let me just say this. I don't care whether we have a woman president. It got quiet on that. I don't care. I want somebody with some sense. And sometimes women are the only ones that got any sense in some places. I thought you women would say amen. That's the last time I'm going to pull that trick. All right, I want a man president. See, I got amen then. All right, praise God. Everybody wants a man president. No, really, I really don't care. Honestly, I don't. I don't. I want somebody with some integrity. I want. You know, the Bible tells us who should run office, who should lead. David spoke by the Spirit of God, 2 Samuel 23. He said, "He that rule among the men must be first just. Number two, rule in the fear of God." And if it takes a, if you know, whoever it takes to do that, that's who I want. Amen. All right, let's move on here. So wisdom, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You don't even begin to get on the wisdom train until you fear the Lord, until you accept the Lord into your life, right? You don't even begin. You could have knowledge. You might have some understanding, but you're not going to have God's kind of wisdom until you fear the Lord. Amen. So my life began to change when I began to fear the Lord. Because I begin to get wisdom from God, from His Word. See, wisdom's one of our benefits. We said one of the four sources of our, you know, our redemption. We have wisdom, righteousness, sanctification. That means being set apart. And redemption, you know, our forgiveness and our healing and so forth. Our deliverance from demonic powers. It's our redemption. Praise God for it. Hallelujah. But part of that's wisdom. Amen. And so, and you know, there's different sources of wisdom. James said it like this in James 3:15. He said, this wisdom doesn't descend from above, talking about strife and, you know, division. He said, this wisdom doesn't descend from above, but it's earthly, it's sensual, and it's demonic. So that tells me wisdom can come from four sources, from above, from the earth, from your senses, just what your senses tell you, or it could be demonic. Amen. See, you got to discern what's talking to me here. Is this, am I just following the earthly wisdom? Am I following my sense wisdom, what my senses want? You know, because their senses are pretty, how many know your senses are pretty strong? How many know your emotions are pretty strong, right? I mean, I can get emotional every time. I still do. I still get emotional when I go to a GMC pickup truck dealership. I get emotional. I mean, I just feel something moving. Oh, you know, yeah. Sister Debbie said, you better stay home. And that's probably good advice. Because one guy was looking at vehicles one time. One minister said, I was looking at this dealership. I was looking at vehicles. The guy comes out and says, can I help you? He goes, no, I'm just looking. He goes, that's how it starts. Well, I mean, you know, I can go, you know, I was over there, I had to get my oil changed. I got a GMC pickup, and so I take it to the dealership, get the oil changed, and, you know, because of warranty. And I got to looking at some of the new ones, and I'm thinking, you know, my truck doesn't have that on there. And, you know, that's got a bigger screen on it than my truck has. And why didn't I listen to my wife? You know, when I got her a new vehicle, she said, why don't you just buy you a new one and just get me something used. That was a really dumb move on my part, wasn't it? But I said, no, honey, it's your turn. Like a good husband, I'm just teaching you guys how to be a husband. No, honey, it's your turn. You get the new vehicle. And so I've regretted that decision ever since. But especially when I go to a dealership. How many know, listen, here's the thing about those. See, the Bible says the Word of God divides between the soul and the spirit. See, what's of the spirit, what's truth, and what's of your emotions, see? Because your emotions, listen, I understand this. I know this. I have to, I'm the same as you. I have to make decisions, and I want to make right decisions, and sometimes you got to weed out your emotions, what your emotions want. Because your emotions can speak to you really strongly and say, I'm God. Can't they? Yeah. They'll say, I'm the Lord. This is the, thus saith the Lord. And it's really thus saith your emotions. You know, yeah, I just got a good feeling about it. Well, you better check where that feeling's coming from. See, and that's why we spend time in the Word, because it discerns between all that and cuts that and divides that. And you realize, oh, that's just my emotional part of me. Amen. You can wake up on Sunday morning and like, I want to sleep in. How many know? That's just your senses. That's not the wisdom of God. You might miss something God has for a church. This might be your morning. You might get a Pentecostal handshake today. Anybody know what a Pentecostal handshake is? How many know what a Pentecostal handshake is? A Pentecostal handshake is a handshake that's got money in it. That's the way Pentecostals do it. You heard about the Baptists that went to that died, and the Catholic that died, and the Charismatic that died, and they went to heaven, got to the gate, and Peter said, "Well, your rooms aren't ready. So I've arranged for you to go to hell just temporarily till we get your rooms ready." So after a few days, Satan calls Peter and he says, "Hey, come and get these people." He said, "Why?" He said, "Well, first of all, the Catholic's down here and he's absolving everybody of sin. The Baptist is down here and he's trying to get everybody born again." He said, "The Charismatic's down here, the Pentecostal Charismatic's down here, and he's raising money for air conditioning." Well, that's about right. Amen. But how many understand that you got a source where you got to determine where's this source of wisdom coming from? Does this line up with the Bible? Does this, you know, or is this just me? Or is this just, or is it demonic? It could be demonic, you know. Now, read on with me, verse 10 again. He says, "For the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." So you don't even begin to have the wisdom of God until you begin to fear the Lord and walk with Him. "For by me thy days are multiplied, and thy years shall be increased." So how many know you can increase your days, right? Is that right? So you hear this teaching now, and it's not scriptural, that God has your days numbered and you only got a certain amount of days and you're like a jug of milk, you know, after the 23rd, you're expired. I mean, that's not Bible. The Bible says you can do things to increase your days or shorten your days. Amen. And so it's not necessarily all up to the Lord like some preachers teach, because that's not what the Bible says, right? I'm going to stick with the Bible. How about you? And when the Bible says you can increase your days, that means there's not a set time. I have something to do with it. "For by me," verse 11, "thy days shall be multiplied, and thy years and thy life shall be increased," by wisdom, that is. "If you be wise, you shall be wise for yourself, but if you scorn, you alone shall bear it." It's simply saying that if you choose God's wisdom, you're just helping yourself out. If you choose to reject it, you're just hurting yourself. You're hurting yourself. Now, I want you to go, because I want to talk about this morning. We don't have a lot of time left, but I want you to go to Matthew chapter 7, because I want to talk to you about how one of the things wisdom is applying God's Word to your life. Amen. How many know God's Word was meant to be applied to your life? Yes. It's not just good reading. It is good reading, but it's not just good reading. It's life-changing material. And your life can be radically changed. How do I know? Because my life was radically changed. You know, from the time when I just remember, man, when I got saved, you know, I didn't know anything like you. When you get saved, you don't know anything, you know. Well, I was hungry. Everybody say hungry. And I began to find out, I began to listen to people preach to me, not just going to church, but I got cassette tapes. In those days, there were cassette tapes. I listened to the radio. People were on the radio, you know. And we had a radio station here in town at that time. I didn't live here in town, but there was a station here in town. Had a lot of good preachers on it. I mean, it had Brother Hagin on there, R.W. Schombach, Brother Copeland, David Nunn, which, you know, he's an old, he's gone on to be with the Lord now. But, yes, there were so many different good preachers. You remember that station? There were so many good Yes, WVHI. There was Mark Pearl was on there. There were all the good ones were on there, but that was later. He wasn't on there when I was first saved, but later on he was on there, and so we had, you know, I'd just feed on this, and then, you know, I'd get their tapes and their books and just feed, and what a blessing it was to my life. Man, it revolutionized me, changed my life. Praise God. It took me from low thinking to high life. Praise God. Amen. And it took me from this low state I was living in and just defeated to victory. Oh, man, it was awesome. Praise God. Matthew chapter 7. look with me, but I began to do the word. Amen. I began to apply the word to my life. Matthew chapter 7. Let's begin reading at verse. Let me see where we want to go here. Let's go to verse 24. We know this scripture, but it's really a powerful scripture. It says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them," everybody say does them, "I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock." So what's a wise man? One that hears the word and does it, see. Not just hears it, but does it. "And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." Well, how many know storms are coming to all of us, right? You know, I was listening to a gentleman here just recently. I've known of him for years and years, but he went to Rhema, and you know, and actually became either a teacher or something at Rhema, maybe the dean of Rhema at one time. I can't remember. But anyway, he was preaching the other night, and he said, "You know, when I first went to Rhema, you know," he said, "I was 20 years old, and you know," he said, "I thought I knew everything." And he said, "You know, Brother Hagin got," he said, "we had a, Brother Hagin got up there and talking about, you know, something like, if you think you're going to float through life on flowery beds of ease without any difficulty, you got another thing coming." And he thought, well, Brother Hagin's in unbelief. And he said, they had a guest speaker come in and they preached and said, "You know, if you think you're not going to have any trials, you're out of your mind." Well, they're in unbelief. He said, "But after living life, I believe them both now." How many know you get tested on the truth you learn? Right? A guy said, this young kid, he actually went to Raymond. He told his instructor. His instructor said, he said this to me. He said, "You know," he said, "I went through Christ the Healer class and got sick. I went through the class on biblical prosperity and went broke. I went through the class on fasting and prayer and gained 10 pounds. Well, the revelation is the devil doesn't want you to believe that, so he fights that. So what do? You take what you've learned and beat him over the head with it. Amen. And remain victorious because the truth works. But Paul told that. Paul said to the church at Hebrews, he said, after you were illuminated, you had a fight on your hands. And I'm not telling you to believe for that. I'm not saying that's necessarily always the way it happens, but you need to be prepared to fight with the word you learn. Not just think, well, I guess it doesn't work. Pastor preached on healing. I got sick. Well, you're being tested. Do you believe it? I mean, Job got tested, didn't he? Right? Amen. Even though God was on his side, even though God made a hedge about him, there's still some testing came. But it didn't last all that long. It was only like 9 months or something like that. Well, that's a long time to go through a trial, but, you know. But in life's comparison, it didn't last that long, and he came out with twice as much. Amen. Amen. That's what the Lord intended. Amen. Amen. Now, look at verse 26. "Everyone hears these sayings of mine and does not do them shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, the flood came, the floods came, the winds blew, beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." So it's the storm that showed up the difference, whether they were doing the word or not, right? Now, how many understand that when you build a house, if you know anything about building a house, you want a good foundation. A lot of times we go look at a house, and we look at all the pretties inside and all that, and the niceties, but how many know you better have somebody inspect that foundation? Because if the foundation's not any good, it doesn't matter how nice the house looks, it's going to fall. You're going to have problems, see? And so we lived in a part of town one time in Newburgh. They had mine subsidence. And we lived kind of in that area. We actually, it wasn't our house. We was just living there, not squatting. We were paying. got to explain everything today. But we actually did live kind of in that area a little bit, down close to the river. And, you know, some houses had mine subsidence because, you know, they dug holes in the ground. Some of that foundation gave way. Well, see, the foundation of your life, the foundation of my life is doing the word, right? Applying the word. That's the wisdom of God. When we see something in the Bible, we do it. Right. I mean, God doesn't ask you to tithe because he needs more money. Right. It's for your benefit. Right. So you'll have a strong foundation. See, same thing's true. God doesn't ask us not to sin just so, you know, he can say, look how good my children are. That's not it. It's because it affects our life. Did you know even the Bible tells us, I think it's Romans chapter 9 it is, tells us that don't do anything that wounds your conscience. Even if it's not wrong, but if you think it's wrong, it's sin to you because it has effect on you just like if you were sinning. It'll affect you spiritually, see. You know, there's some things, see, you know, like Paul was talking about, to eat meat or not to eat meat. That is the question. I've got the answer. To eat meat. But Paul was talking to people, that there were some people that really believed eating meat was wrong. Now, Paul said, I'm convinced by the Lord Jesus Christ that all of it's acceptable, meat and vegetables. Thank you, Jesus. Don't you like that? That sheet came down for Peter and there's all kinds of animals in there and the Lord said, rise, kill, and eat. I'm still doing it today. Well, actually, I'm not killing it, you know. Most of the people don't know that chicken doesn't come in cellophane. But my point in saying that is this. Some people really believe that meat was wrong. All right? So Paul told them, don't do it because you'll wound your conscience. He said, I'm convinced there's nothing wrong with it. You know, some people, he said, some people eat only vegetables. Some people eat only meat. You know, he said, don't judge one another. Just make sure you don't violate your conscience. Now, you said, well, how could that be? Well, the thing of it is, even though it's not really wrong with God, it wounds your conscience and affects you spiritually. And that's wrong to do that to your conscience. You don't do anything, right? Come on, are you with me? See, you know, until you get this figured out and you can do it in faith, whatever's not of faith is what? It's sin. Till you can do it in faith, don't do it. Is that right? See, if you say, well, I can't eat chicken in faith. Well, don't do it. Give me your portion. Because I got all the faith in the world to do it, baby. All right? Now, how many are following what I just said? I hope I didn't confuse you. Now, look with me at Joshua chapter 1. Go there, Joshua chapter 1. We're just talking about applying the Word, and I want to look at just a few scriptures quickly here before we have communion. Joshua chapter 1, because this is wisdom, is applying the Word. If you don't do what the Word says, you're cheating yourself. And now, how many know the Word tells us things, and I think this is important to say because any time that my life has gotten shaken in my Christian life, it was either one or two reasons. Either I was doing something the Bible told me not to do, or I was not doing something the Bible told me to do. How many know the Bible isn't just full of don't do's? It has don't do's in it, but it has... Help me say this, somebody. It has doo-doos in it. I backed myself in the corner on that one, didn't I? All right, how many know? It tells us what to do.
There you go.
I was thinking, how am I going to say this? It's got do's in it, all right? So you know, we think about don't do this, don't do that. Well, yes, that's in there, absolutely. But there's a lot of things we're told to do, right? And like worship and praise the Lord. Did you know that's not a suggestion? And you know, just coming here and singing words, that's not necessarily praising and worshiping the Lord either. You gotta get your heart into it, you know? Come on, are you with me? Some people sing and their lips just, the words just barely, they just dribble off their chin. You just need to beller it out. Well, give me a microphone. Well, no, you may not need to be mic'd. Everybody can praise the Lord, right? Is that right? Everybody should praise the Lord, right? Not everybody should be mic'd while they're doing it. The Bible talks about, you know, if you're going to be up there on the platform, skillfully unto the Lord. I've been there before. Oh, just pray for me. I can't help. Pray for me. The Lord help me sing. I'm thinking, yeah, you knew what to ask prayer for. That's for sure. All right, moving right along. Praise God. Now, look at this in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. And this is God speaking to Joshua. How many know his advice would be pretty good, wouldn't it? How many think we could follow this, right? How many think this would still be good for today? This book of the law, we would say today, the Word of God, because the law was the Word of God, we just got more in the law now, right? This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then, notice this, you, everybody say me, shall make your way prosperous, then you shall have good success. So how many know it's not up to God whether you have success? It's up to you. Now, of course, let me clarify that. He'll be the one that will help you have it, but you're the one that has to make the decision to do the right things to have it. Does that make sense to you? I don't want you taking the glory for it, because if you got anything good, you got it from God, right? So I didn't mean it that way. What I meant by that was you're the one that makes the decision where you're going to do what God said to do to have success. And he said, everybody say good success. Now, you know how many know there's such thing as bad success. You know, people get successful and it pulls them away from God and from the church. That's bad success. If you get a better paying job and you don't come to church, you just had some bad success. Right? You know, that's bad success. There's people in the world that are considered successful. They're movie stars. They're politicians. They're actors and things like that. But their lives are destroyed. So that success destroyed their lives. You know, the young lady, you know, the really, you know, somewhere over the rainbow, Judy Garland. I mean, Hollywood just destroyed this lady. You know what I'm saying? And I mean, she had a voice. Man, could she sing? She had a dog. She had some slippers. I mean, she just tapped them together. And wasn't that what she did? I don't know. It's been a long time since I've seen that movie. She survived a tornado. Where was she at? Kansas? Where did it take her to? To Oz. I thought maybe it's like Niagara Falls or something. But anyway, it's been a while since I watched that movie. But you know, Hollywood destroyed her. Was her success good? She'd been better off not to have that kind of success, because it ruined her life. See, there's good success, there's bad success. People think all success is good. No, there's some success, it's not good for you. Amen. Now, all right, but notice, he said you would be able to, I want you to see this now. He said, where he says you will have good success, my cross-reference says you'll be able to do wisely. Isn't that something? You'll be able to do wisely in life. In other words, you'll have wisdom as the ability to live life skillfully. Listen, I said this and Phyllis put it on the pantry door. Wisdom does today what you'll be happy with tomorrow. She put that on the pantry door. Really, I'm serious. It's still on there today. I'm sticking on. Wisdom does today what you'll be happy with tomorrow. I don't think she's paying attention to it. She just bypasses it. You know? Listen, how many know that wisdom looks ahead and sees the outcome? Do you know people that just live for tomorrow or the moment? Let's say the moment. They just live for the moment. Whatever feels good right now, whatever decision seems good right now. They make that decision and they don't think down the road, what's this going to cost me? Right? See, they don't think about, now this may be crude, but it's just truth. They don't think about in the back seat of the 57 Chevy what that's going to cost you maybe later on. Okay, that was a song. Some of you don't even remember that one, but anyway. I won't put it in your head. But help me understand, people sometimes don't think these things through, right? You got to think, wisdom thinks things through. What's the outcome of this going to be? What's this going to be like? What's this decision going to be like 6 months from now? Right? How many of that'll make you think? You know, you think about, you know, somebody comes hitting on you and you're married, and you think you got to stop and just don't think about the moment. You got to think about what's this going to do to my life. Like one minister said, you know, a lady sat down by him on an airplane and put her hand on his leg. Yeah. What was it he said? I'm a dead man. Jezebel. He called her Jezebel. How many of you? Yeah, he said, that leg is full of the Holy Ghost. I mean, that's thinking ahead. I remember one time he said a lady hit him up in the hotel, and the elevator, you know, he's going to elevator. She said, well, you lonely tonight? He said, I'm a dead man. She goes, are you taking medication for that? That's for the older folks. Anyway. It's time to close. How many understand? You got to be that violent with sin. What is he doing? He's thinking about what this would lead to, not just the moment. Well, where's this going to put me 6 months down the road? Out of my marriage, out of my ministry, out of the blessing of God? It's not worth it. I said, it's not worth it. Nothing's worth it. We want to fear God and honor God and have integrity. Amen. That's wisdom. So this is what God's telling Joshua. Put the word first, have wisdom. Amen. And everything will be all right, right? See, the Bible tells us that if we're not doers of the word, but we're hearers only, we deceive ourselves. We shortchange ourselves on the wisdom of God. See that's called mental assent. You know, where you agree with the word and you know, I say this, mental assent. Mental assent admires the word. It admits it's true, but it doesn't act on it. It admires it. It admits it's true, but it doesn't act on it. You know, acting's where the blessing comes. See, you can say, yes, I believe in that. Yes, but you got to act on it. Amen? Now, look at this. We're going to close right here. Did you get anything today?
Amen.
All right, need to go here. Isaiah chapter, well, let me see. Don't go to Isaiah yet. Let me think about this just for a minute. Well, let's go there. Isaiah 33, we'll close right here. Isaiah 33, go there. Isaiah 33. One of the big things that wisdom is the fear of the Lord. It's to fear God. Amen. I don't just behave in town, I behave out of town. Because God's out of town. Right? I don't want to offend my Father. I fear God. So I'm not just behaving when I'm around people. Amen. We had a lady one time, bless her heart, she was a good person and loved God, but she had an area in her flesh she was struggling with. And, you know, we're not condemning anybody or beating anybody up. We're all overcoming things sometimes, right? I mean, you know, we're all working on things, whether it's a gossip mouth or whatever. Or, you know what, you know, we're still, our attitudes, we're working on things, and God's still working on us, amen? So, but she said, you know, she had problems with smoking. And I'm not saying you're going to hell for smoking, I'm just saying it'll get you someplace quicker, wherever you're going. It's like expedited ticket, right? It's like TSA pre-check. It'll get you one of these places quicker, amen? Some of you figure that out eventually. You spit your beans out when you're eating lunch. Now, she said, the thing of it is, she says, because this was at Gleason. This wasn't here. So you can all look up. Is Pastor talking about me? No. This was at Gleason. She said this to us, to me and Brother Eddie. She says, because we would sometimes do church things and we'd be all day at it, maybe an outing or something. She says, as long as you pastors are around me, I don't smoke. But when you're gone, I light them up. And then she said, you know, when we had that prophet come in, you know, we had a prophet came in, I can't remember his name, but he was a genuine, real deal, you know. He came in and preached. She said, I left my cigarettes at home. I didn't carry them in my purse that night. I told her, I said, you could have put them on the moon. God would have known about it. And I said this to her nice. I wasn't being mean. I said, the problem is, sister, you have more fear of us pastors than you do of God. See, he's the one you ought to be concerned about, right? Why is it so quiet? Y'all going out and have a Winston Light after service or what? Why is it so quiet? I'm not condemning anybody that's struggling with smoking or anything. It's not good for the temple of God, right? It's bad for the temple of God. I wouldn't do it. Amen. So anyway, you know, we ought to, you know, I fear God. It's not about people. It's about fearing God. Amen. Now look at this in Isaiah 33, 6, and we'll close right here. It says, and wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of your times and the strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. How many know we need some stability right now? Man, if America ever needed stability, it needs stability today. And it's going to come by the wisdom of God. Right? We used to realize certain things that we argue about now. You know, some people do anyway. I don't argue about it. I've got it figured out because the Bible. But people argue about, is this right or this wrong? Man, you got to go to the Bible, not to culture. Not because the Supreme Court said it was okay. The Supreme Court in 72 or 74 said abortion was okay. It was legal. It's never been legal in the eyes of God. Never has. Murder's never been legal. Well, it's my body, not the one you're killing. That's somebody else's. So we have to go to the Word, amen? Well, yeah, but the government says a lot of stupid things. We don't go by the government, we go by God. We go by His government. He's the one that's supposed to govern us. You just want this to be a Christian nation. You're right. No, I'm not for forcing it on. God doesn't force it on anybody. But I'm saying that's the way we ought to live our lives. What way we ought to make our laws. You know why they call it now Christian nationalism, you know? Like us Christians were trying to take over. Man, listen, are you kidding me? Listen, all we're saying is simply this. People ought to have a right to live by the Word of God. Amen. And we were founded as a Christian nation. And if you don't want to live that way, there's plenty of places to go. Go to Canada. I mean, they're up there right now debating on whether they should, you know, kill the mentally ill people. Is that what you want for America? I'm thinking, well, if we're really going to do this, let's start with some of these guys that are in leadership in America, some of the politicians. They're mentally ill. Let's try it out. All right, moving right along. Praise the Lord. The wisdom of God's telling me to move on. But how many of the Bible is our book, right? The Bible's our handbook. The Bible's our guide. The Bible's where we get our wisdom, not from the world. Amen. And not because somebody said it was okay, but because the Bible says okay. Did you get something out of this today? Just talking about the wisdom of God. I want to operate by God's wisdom. And applying His Word is the wisest thing you're ever going to do in your life is read this book, apply it, do it, walk in it, put it to practice in your life. Right? See, Paul said, I got to close, but Paul, because I got to go. I really got to catch a plane. Phyllis and I here in a little bit. 2:15, we got to leave. Paul said this. He said, the words which we speak are not words which man wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. How many know the words that come out of our mouth? We ought to make sure we're speaking what God said.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.